This episode of the Innerman Show is brought to you by The Beard Struggle. The Beard Struggle is a beard grooming essentials company based out of British Columbia, Canada. What makes The Beard Struggle so great is their view on masculinity, that it is not a beard that makes you masculine, but growing in love, grace, self-sacrifice, and service. The Beard Struggle has all natural ingredients that are never animal tested. They have combs, bags, heated brushes, balms, oils, shampoos, and conditioners, all guaranteed to give you a stronger, healthier beard. If you don't like their products, they offer a 90-day money-back guarantee. Well, let's face it, guys, The Beard Struggle is the best of the best. Head over to www.thebeardstruggle.com and use promo code INNERMAN, INNERMAN, for 15% off your next purchase.
The Innerman Project is happy to announce that we have teamed up with Alberta Strong for their fall-winter campaign. Alberta Strong is an Alberta-based clothing brand that aims to give back to Alberta through supporting nonprofits and special events. Alberta Strong will be donating $500 to the Innerman Project to support community programs such as the Unmasked Masculinity peer-to-peer group sessions. And not only will they be donating $500, they are going to be donating $5 of every online purchase from now until December 31st, 2020 to the Innerman Project. You can find Alberta Strong on Instagram at alberta.strong, on Facebook at www.facebook.com/albertastrong1905. Make sure to check out their website, www.albertastrong.org.
Make sure you check us out on social media. Our Instagram and Twitter is at innermanyxh. You can also find us on Facebook, www.facebook.com/theinnermanproject. And make sure to subscribe to the podcast. We are available on every podcast app and podcast player. If you enjoy the show, let us know, tag us, and leave a review. And last but not least, we have officially launched our online platform for the Innerman Project merchandise. We have tees, hats, hoodies, and card decals. All of the tees and hats and hoodies are also in men's and women's. Head over to Instagram or Facebook, tap Shop Now, or use the link in the bio, and use promo code INNERMANSHOW for 10% off your entire purchase. Again, use promo code INNERMANSHOW for 10% off your entire purchase. This is a promo code exclusively for the Innerman Show listeners. Again, that's promo code INNERMANSHOW, INNERMANSHOW, for 10% off your entire purchase. What is up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Innerman Show. This is our second go-around due to technical difficulties. I'm here with my co-host tonight in person and not via Zoom, Shane Cockrell. Shane, how are you feeling, man? You've pushed a lot of snow in the last couple weeks.
Oh, yeah. Tired a little bit. Had a lot of help. Shout out to Brandon. Okay, he's a beauty. Thanks for all your help, man. But yeah, it can fuck off anytime. Anytime.
It's so cold, man. Like, it was
so cold.
You know what's weird about living down here is, like, when I lived in Edmonton and Calgary, it was, you could see it coming from a mile away. You'd be like, oh, it's 12 degrees today. In a couple weeks, there's going to be snow on the ground, and it's probably going to stay for about 6 months. In Medicine Hat, it could be like 20 degrees and, like, literally the next day, 4 feet of snow.
It's true. Yeah, we had, 36 centimeters of snow last week? This week?
Yep.
Last week. And that is insanity. That's the most I've ever seen in one time, I think.
Yeah, and what made it worse is all the wind.
Yeah.
Like, all the drifts, man. We're talking, like, it was a solid 4.5 feet high in my front yard.
Well, I had a plow on my... I have a plow that attaches to my truck.
Mm-hmm.
I literally had to put it down just driving on the street to get anywhere.
Jeez.
I don't know how anyone else made it through. And I still got stuck 2 or 3 times. I had to get yanked out, so...
Well, you'll hear it tonight. Like, the rumbling, the whole house shakes when city buses drive by this street here.
Oh, I bet.
Because the roads are... No one took a plow out. It was like the city's like... Fuck it, whatever, people are driving.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Yeah, it is what it is, man. And, like, there's divots out on this main road that are, like, 4 or 5 inches deep of ice.
Oh, yeah, it's a concussion just driving down the street.
I know, man. It's, like, people are, like, literally crawling through the street just to get by. So, it's a shit show. Welcome to Canada, man. Welcome to Canada. So, today's a little bit different of an episode. We know me and Shane have done a few episodes just by ourselves. And we figured that we'd want to get the opinion of our listeners instead of just sitting here and pretending we know what we're talking about.
Exactly.
So we I took this idea from Ryan Mickler's podcast, The Order of Man. And what it is they have what's called the Iron Council, which is about 500 men in a private forum. So I shout out to you guys because our private forum is already bigger than theirs. So that's pretty cool. So basically what they do is every week they do an Ask Me Anything of questions to ask the podcast hosts. This week we decided to do something very similar, except we ask questions, but we also ask for topic suggestions as well. So today's first topic is men and, how should I say this? Men loving gardening, men loving baking and doing things that aren't stereotypical for men.
Yeah, just things that aren't stereotypical for men. The softer side of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the rewards versus the stigma around it. So let's get into this. Tell me what you think when you hear or read that topic suggestion about there being a stigma around men doing things like gardening and baking and yoga.
For me, I grew up with it. My old man loves flowers. He's obsessed with them, spends probably thousands of dollars a year on them. So I grew up in the yard with him, hauling dirt around, giving him a hand. And when at the end of the day, when you're sitting on the deck with a beer and you're looking at your flower bed that looks fantastic, it's nice.
Yeah, man, it's rewarding as fuck, man. I lived a majority of my adult life in the city in condos and whatever else, and I was never into plants or anything. The second we bought this house down here in Medicine Hat, I said to Melissa, I want to build a garden. And that's exactly what we did. And dude, there is nothing wrong with building a garden and gardening all summer long and all spring long. There's nothing wrong with it.
Not even a little bit. And if you want to take that step further, mm-hmm. and I mean make it manly, quote unquote, mm-hmm. is you build your own little your own, what's the word I'm looking for?
Well, you provide.
No, you're building, like you actually build with like wood,
yeah.
and make your own garden.
Yeah absolutely.
Yeah,
it's about productivity.
Yeah,
it's about creation, and it's about providing for your family, because we still have pickled beets, we still have pickled carrots, we still have potatoes. We would go out every night and pick lettuce off of the fresh heads of lettuce. We would eat beets every night. We would eat from our garden basically all summer long.
Yeah,
you don't have to go out then and buy groceries. You buy $100 worth of seeds. You buy, maybe $50 worth of lumber, and you buy some dirt, and you make it work.
And let's be honest, nothing tastes better than right out of the garden vegetables.
Nothing. Wash it off with a hose, get a little bit of dirt off of it. And this is what I say about hunting, and this is what I'll say about gardening, because it fits into the same narrative. If you want to turn gardening into a manly, quote-unquote, endeavor, it's about providing for your family or yourself.
Shit, yeah.
So you can, like, when I hear gardening, I'm like, dude, I garden. Like, yeah. I garden all the time, right?
Yeah, think of it as mini farming.
Yeah, exactly. And same with baking. I'm not a huge baker because I've never really gotten into it, but I know a lot of guys that bake.
This is another thing that my dad did, man. Like, yeah. he was on the softer side of things. He was a rigger,
yeah.
consultant, but when he come home, he would bake pies.
Yeah.
Like, he just enjoyed doing it, and he liked pickling and all that stuff. It's just, it's his calm. It's what he likes. It's what slows him down. So it's cool. Like, it's funny that we touch on this topic as soft, but like, my old man was hard as fuck.
Yeah.
And just here he is with an apron baking some lemon meringue pies, and you're just like, whatever, thanks dad for these pies. But yeah, I don't find it at all to be out of the norm, at least how I grew up.
Yeah, and like even cooking. I mean, our good friend Kelly, he's an amazing cook.
Yeah.
He sends us pictures of his food all the time. It's fantastic to see.
Doesn't share the prick.
Yeah, but well, when it comes to doing these things like baking and gardening, and it's about providing. That's all it is. Men are supposed to be providers, whether it's for their family or themselves or their community. They're supposed to be of service. So if you can build a garden and garden up a whole bunch of nice carrots and beets and lettuce and potatoes, and Now you have produce that you can carry and pickle for the rest of the year. It's the same with the baking, man. You know, Melissa bakes all the time here. I mean, she just baked muffins today. But there's nothing wrong with providing yourself your own food.
No, and to be fair, like, I don't bake because you have to be precise.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love to cook myself, but because I can do it however the fuck I want it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I can put my own twist on it. I can throw extra spices. Everything I eat is spicy. My family hates me for it, but, you know, I cook in the family, so if you want to eat, then that's what you got.
Jalapenos and pasta, okay?
That's right.
And the other one is yoga. You know, this is something that I think somebody like Joe Rogan kind of changed the narrative when it came to yoga.
Yeah.
Because this guy talks about doing hot yoga all the time, and he's just, like, a typical man's man.
Shredded.
And, yeah, he's just jacked and shredded and fights all the time. Yeah,
just beats the shit out of guys.
That's what he does, man. And it's like, for him to say that he does yoga, I think that's what really changed the narrative. For me, that's how I got into yoga, was five, six years ago. I was one of the original listeners of the Joe Rogan Experience, and he would talk about yoga all the time, and that's what I started. I started doing yoga, and I still do yoga once a week, at least once a week.
Yeah, and my first experience with yoga wasn't a good one, and it's because it's my own fault. I'm literally the most unflexible person in the world, and I know I need yoga, but I still refuse to do it. It's not that I refuse to do it. It's just, you know, that narrative is, when you suck at something, you don't want to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you got to get out of that mindset at the end of the day, right? Like, get comfortable being uncomfortable, right?
I was just going to say that.
So
I had this conversation with a gentleman last night, and we were talking. He's asking me what he can do differently for exercise. And I said, have you tried yoga? And he's like, no. And I said, it gets really uncomfortable those first 4 or 5 sessions because you're just not used to it. And it's a totally different type of exercise.
Well, and like, I did the P90X Yoga X.
Okay.
And that's way too intermediate for me. Like, that's way, I need beginners. I need like
5 to 10 minutes of YouTube videos.
Yeah, like this is 45 minutes long and they're hitting some pretty spicy stuff. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to pull something or break something. And
might as well be hot yoga.
That's right. Yeah. Just flop sweat looking like a, I don't know, crazy person.
Well, so I appreciate that. Shout out to Matt K for leaving that comment and suggestion. Listen, there's, if someone is making fun of you or bullying you or laughing at you because you garden or bake, just walk away, because you know what? Their opinion doesn't fucking matter. It really doesn't. If you want to do something that makes you happy, if you're passionate about it, and if you're providing and you're creating a service for your family and yourself, just go fucking do it, man.
Nothing makes me happier than seeing someone in their element. It doesn't matter what it is, man. But when someone's just beaming ear to ear doing the weirdest shit, it doesn't matter what it is. You're just like, this guy's having the time of his life. Who gives a shit what it is?
Yeah, that goes for everybody. You know, like tonight, Melissa brought home another plant, and I shake my head and I laugh. But I laugh because, and I smile because she is so passionate. When she's sitting there, you know, changing the dirt and potting this plant, and she hasn't even taken her shoes or coat off yet. That's how excited she is to do it. That kind of passion for something is way more beneficial than someone's opinion on what they think of gardening.
Absolutely. So I guess what we're trying to get at is, follow your passion and don't let anyone be in your ear and tell you, well, that's not masculine, that's not cool, that's not whatever. It doesn't matter. If you enjoy it and if that's what you love, that's all that matters.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Okay, number two, the stereotypes of what a man should be compared to a man, to what a man actually is in society. And that was from Blue G. So shout out to Blue. He's a member in our support chat, a member in our private forum, sorry, and he's a member that comes to our peer-to-peer sessions. This is a good topic because, you know, there is a stereotype of what a man should be.
Absolutely.
So, for me personally, when I think of men, I think of people, human beings, who are of service for their family, their friends, their community, but most importantly themselves. I say this all the time.
Yeah.
That's what a man is.
Absolutely.
That's the only stereotype it should be.
Wholeheartedly agree.
That's the only stereotype that should be about men. I don't care what kind of clothes you wear. I don't care what kind of hobbies you have.
Nope.
As long as you're of service for yourself, your friends, your family, and community. That's it.
That's all that matters. I can't even touch on anything. That's exactly it. There's no other way to put it.
Yeah, and for men who have that stigma around being alpha and macho and you should grow a beard, you should. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, Jeremy.
For men to have that perception of what men should be, number one, it's a closed-minded argument.
It's true.
It's very closed-minded. It goes back to what we just talked about with the gardening. Like, I train martial arts, kickboxing. I train as a bodybuilder. I used to ride a Harley. I lift weights. I do all these things that, you know, would can be considered the alpha male.
Right.
But then I do things like I love playing Pokemon cards with my kids because it reminds me of childhood. I love gardening outside. You know, I love spending time outside. Like you said, flowers. I fell in love with flowers this year because it made our front yard look awesome.
Yeah, man.
Like this, like the whole stigma around what you think men should be, the only thing that matters is what we just said.
That's right. And yeah, same with me. If you looked at my resume, I boxed forever. I, you know, go to the gym. I have a bushy beard 90% of my days. And yeah, and I like to, you know, cook meat. Mm-hmm. I'm a Traeger guy. I like to smoke shit. So, but that doesn't matter. But at the same time, I'm dancing to princess songs with my daughter
mm-hmm.
on the TV, and yeah. I'm being whatever I need to be at that time.
Right. And doing those things with your kids or gardening for your family is being of service to them. So, I get sick and tired of men who think that we have to fit in this box of what society should think of us.
Yeah, and I don't equate these things that you and I do as being a man. Mm-hmm. I do them as things that we enjoy and we love to do. We don't do it because we think that's what makes a man.
Yeah.
It's because we like it.
Yeah,
so absolutely. So we could go back to the gardening. We could mm-hmm. go back to the yoga. We could go back to all that stuff.
Right. You know,
if that makes you happy, then that's your shit.
Absolutely.
Like, that doesn't make you less than a man because we lift weights. Cool. Like, that means nothing.
100%, man. And it's the counter for women as well. My mom grew up playing softball and lifting weights and doing all these quote-unquote manly sports.
Sure.
And hockey and everything else that she did. And she's a woman. She was a mother. Yep. She likes putting on makeup. But it was what she enjoyed.
Yeah.
So you don't have to fit in this box that society tells you to fit in. You know, if you enjoy something, if you're passionate about it, go for it. As long as you're not hurting yourself or hurting other people, I don't care what you do. And as long as you're being of service of to your family, friends, and community and yourself, that's all that matters, man.
That's all that matters. Question three.
All right. Well, thanks, Blue, for, you know, giving us that topic and suggestion.
Yeah. You're my boy, Blue.
You're my boy, Blue. Number three. How are men supposed to love? Van and Kay.
How are they supposed to love?
Yeah.
With everything they fucking have.
Absolutely. There's really not much more to touch on there.
No.
Man.
No. Don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to show your loved ones, your friends, your family, strangers, community, that like that you care, you love them, that they mean the world to you. I do that all the time.
Yeah,
Dylan, fucking love you, bro.
I fucking love you, dude. I love you.
We had a bro out conversation
yesterday. Yeah,
and it's cleansing, man.
And like, there's nothing wrong with it.
It feels good to let the person know that you truly care about them and feel about them, man.
Man, I've given more hugs in the last 3 months to men than I have my whole life.
Yeah, and what's the problem with that? There's none
because you're breaking the mold of what people think they should be doing. But I'll play devil's advocate here. How are men supposed to love in a relationship, let's say?
That goes to when we talk about relationships. It's that investment piece.
Right.
You know what I mean? You love just as much as they love.
Right.
there has to be that balance.
Right.
You can't just love with everything while you're not receiving that.
Right.
So right. That's how I would give the message out for that one.
So how would you say, like, so this is what I tell people. A marriage is like a business. Mm-hmm. You have to cultivate the environment. You have to create a culture in your relationship. You have to be open with your communication. You have to create open dialogue. You have to face problems together. And there's going to be times, especially in long-term marriages, where there's times where you feel disconnected from your partner. How do you love your partner in that situation?
Trying to understand their situation.
Mm.
That's huge. Getting out of your little bubble saying, well, I'm loving worth everything that I have, but I'm not getting the reciprocation.
Right.
But you got to understand that everything's not perfect all the time.
Right. Yeah. People grow.
That's right. So you need to understand if there's having issues in that area, mm-hmm. you got to understand that area and try to nurture it and bring that person back to your level.
Yeah. 100%. And it's vice versa too. If you feel yourself disconnecting from your loved one, what I tell guys to do is do an internal audit of your life.
Totally.
Figure out what's going wrong and what's going right in your life. One of the things that I tell people is you have to be selfish for the right reasons.
Yeah.
You know, you have to take care of your mental health. You have to take care of your physical health. You have to eat right. Don't get me wrong. I mean, last night I fucked off. I had McDonald's.
Woo.
It is what it is, man.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to sit here and eat junk food all day. Right. I took care of myself. You know?
Well, and exactly what you said, though, is you basically put the words right out of my mouth is you got to be service to yourself before you can be service to others.
Right.
So that's the message that we want to get out there is, I mean, that self-care, that self, but it's not dwelling and being, you know, selfish to the point where you're not caring about your surroundings. Mm-hmm. It's more you need to take care of yourself so you're in a place where you can help others.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Shout out to Vannon. Thanks for that one, buddy.
Great question.
Great. Yeah, that's it's a loaded question and there's a lot of different ways we can take it.
Yeah.
But I took it to the relationship route because that's just the easiest way.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, loaded question. So, and it's all perception. Yeah. So everyone's going to have a different way of how they interpret this. So, if we can touch on this in a different, aspect next time and, maybe do a deep dive, cause I really do like that question.
Number four from Jason M. How do you recognize self-sabotage? I'll let you take a crack at this one, buddy.
There it is, self-sabotage. How do you recognize it? Well, you could look at your life around you. Things are going great. Things are going awesome. And then you hit a wall.
Right.
And then you don't realize why you hit a wall. And then you hit another wall. Mm-hmm. And then you hit another wall. And then that's when you got to take that step back and be like, why am I hitting all these walls and I'm not being able to move forward?
Mm-hmm.
And recognizing it is the tough part though,
mm-hmm.
right? Sometimes you need someone to kick you in the ass.
Right.
And if you don't have that right friendship circle, then that might not happen. Or, you know, family circle or what have you.
Yeah.
So
I think that's incredibly important what you just said. You also have to have that family culture, because if you have a spouse that's allowing you to self-sabotage, there's an issue in that relationship.
Yeah, that's right. They're basically letting you sink your own ship.
Yep.
So that's where things get a little dicey. So like we said, this is up to interpretation and there's a lot of ways we can tackle this, but we're going the relationship route again this time. But it's more, if we're going to talk about internally, it's you hit that wall and then you got to find out why.
Right. You have to, and I'll take it off the relationship route and I'll go down the route of my own self-sabotage.
Let's go.
Is... the way I recognize it is when I feel upset for no reason.
Yeah.
That's when I realize, oh, something's wrong here. Is when you don't feel right, if you feel like whether it's disconnected from your wife or you're having a rough day and you just don't know why, and then 2 or 3 days later you realize that it's been a week of you just feeling like shit, you know. You have to do that internal audit. That's how you recognize self-sabotaging behavior. Is I can tell you the number one thing that affects me is my diet, my nutrition, and my supplementation. So We have this conversation all the time. You're flabbergasted at the fact that I can sleep 5 hours a night and be completely fine.
I fucking wish, man.
I'm genetically different from people in that regard, is that I don't need much sleep to function.
Yeah.
But if I go 2 or 3 days without taking my vitamins, or if I go 2 or 3 days without fasting, or if I go 2 or 3 days of eating garbage, like a great example of that is Christmas break. The last 2 years, we've gone out to the cabin for Christmas break and I'm eating cookies all day. Woo. And charcuterie boards.
Yeah.
And 3 days later, I'm 30 beer deep in a couple bottles of wine and junk food, and I feel like shit.
Yeah.
And I start having those bad thoughts about myself.
Yeah, it's true, man. That's huge. And I'll give a few examples of myself, too. I'm a grinder, and Dylan is, too. But for me, I know when things are not going right is when I lose that edge.
Mm-hmm.
So
that motivation to fucking just go, go, go.
So, yeah, like all of a sudden, I'll hit that wall, like, so to speak, and then I get really lazy.
Yeah.
And then I'm just like, this isn't me, and I hate it, but I can't stop.
Right.
Yeah. And then it actually just happened this last week to me. I did nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason today, it snapped back and I'm like, all right, party on, let's go. And it was more of a, I think I know what it was. It was, I got some good rest, over the weekend. I relaxed. I didn't.
You spent time with the family.
Spent time with the family. I didn't bury myself in work like I normally do. So it was hitting that reset button for me that was huge.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that screws me up is when my routine is out of place.
Right.
So like I'm a very routine guy and it really works for my work schedule mm-hmm. because I can work. I can set my day based on how I want.
Right.
So everything that I do is totally up to me. So when things go out of sorts, that's when things go wrong for me. And then that's when the self-sabotage happens and I lose sight of things. I get cranky.
Mm.
I'm not nice to, you know, my coworkers or whoever. I'm not nice to myself.
That's a big one is when I start self-sabotaging, I'm not nice to myself. And what I mean by that is like, I will purposely not do shit that I need to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And you don't really know the psyche behind that, but it's what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's incredibly important. And this is why I always tell people your morning ritual, your routine, going to the gym, doing these good habits, these positive habits, creating those positive habits. That's how you identify self-sabotage. Because if you're living life, man, just fucking at the seat of your pants, doing random shit all day, you're not in a routine, you're partying lots, you're drinking lots, you're eating like shit. Well, of course, self-sabotage is really easy and it's really hard to identify as a self-sabotage.
You're almost doing it twice there.
Yeah.
You know what? You're self-sabotaging by treating your body like shit.
Yeah.
Which in turn turns your mind to mush.
Right. And so... But when you're in that kind of lifestyle, you don't even identify it as self-sabotage. You just think it's everyday life.
That's right.
Right? So that's why it's so incredibly important. And people just, they either shake their head or roll their eyes at me when I say, make your fucking bed. You know, make your bed. Write in your journal. Do the things in the, like, my morning routine lately has been drinking a cup of coffee and sitting here and talking to my wife. That's been like the last 8 months for me since COVID started.
And that's the start to your day.
I have to do that.
That's what you look forward to.
Open my computer before I do anything. I come downstairs, I grab a cup of coffee, and I decompress. I ask her how her sleep was, what she has planned for the day. I tell her something that's come up or I was thinking about last night. And I just let it all hang out. And then I start my day from scratch.
Right? Yeah, and that's what... a guy needs, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? They need to have that morning routine where they start the day off happy. Start your day off finishing a task. Like mm-hmm. you said, make that bed.
It's a win, man. It's a fucking win.
It's a win right off the start.
Yeah.
And not only that is you gotta start off your day happy. So I know like this morning I didn't have a great day because my wife didn't have a great day and my mm-hmm. kids weren't having a great day because
mm-hmm.
there was lack of sleep. Everyone was cranky in the morning. Mm-hmm. Everyone was crying and I'm mm-hmm. just like, holy moly. And the day was rough, and usually my mornings are great because the kids are happy. They're happy mm-hmm. to see me in the morning. I get to converse with the family a bit, and it's great. But if things are out of sorts, then mm-hmm. that's what dictates my day.
Right. And that in itself, because you are in a positive routine 99% of the time, you identify that as that was the culprit.
Yeah.
Of my mental health struggles today.
Yeah.
Right. And so when I tell people, like, here's a great example. I had this conversation with a gentleman. Well, I get up before the wife and I leave work early. So you're telling me you can't take the corner of your blanket and put it on the edge of your bed and prop your pillow up and yeah. leave her in bed.
Roll it over.
You're telling me you can't make your bed.
Yeah.
You can make your side of the bed, fucker.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what else to tell you, man. You're just making excuses for yourself.
Well, and if you can't make your bed, there's other tasks you can do that start your day off right.
Right. One of the things that I tell people to avoid, and this has been so beneficial for me, is lately, I don't even look at my phone. I just grab it, turn the alarm off, and I walk downstairs. I put it on the counter, and then I have my coffee.
I do the same, man. As soon as my alarm goes off, I mm-hmm. hop out of bed right into the shower, and I just, like, kind of just, I love it. I yeah. just love sitting in the shower with no thoughts at all. Yeah. Just nothing.
Yeah.
Just kind of listen to the water, and it's cleansing.
Yeah.
And in more than one way.
and here's something that, like, you could do, and this is something that I do. When I have a shower, I don't usually have a set time, right? Yeah. It could be if I got meetings, I'll do it in the morning. If not, I usually do it at night. I always start the shower with 2 minutes of a cold shower. Oof. And I'll count to 120 in my head, standing there, ice cold water, because it wakes you the fuck up. But it's Oof. Also good for your nervous system. It's good for blood flow. It's good for all these different things.
Metabolism.
It's good for clarity. So you're telling me, and this is what I love, when I don't have time to take an ice bath. Well, you don't need to take an ice bath.
You should have really cold ass water.
Have a really cold shower. And I'm telling you, dude, it especially if you're a guy that showers at night, like, dude, I don't know what else to tell you. It works. For some strange reason, it works. And these are good habits to get into. So by doing these good habits, you set yourself up for success.
Totally.
So when the days of self-sabotage come, you identify it as that's what went wrong.
You'll know.
Right.
You can, like we said, we just went through our week and identified little things throughout this last week that threw off our day. And because we are set in more of a routine set and accomplishments and goals throughout the day, it's so much easier to be like, well, I'm not having a good day today. What went wrong? Oh, yeah, this mm-hmm. did. Yeah. Because that doesn't normally happen throughout your routine.
Right. So here's a perfect example of this, guys, is for about 6 weeks ago now, my wife had surgery. While she was having surgery, anxiety came upon me, and I had anxiety for about a week straight. And it went on and off for the next 2 weeks. And what I identified was in that 2 weeks, I'd only written into my journal twice. I only read my book twice because I write down when I read my book. And so I was off of my personal development, my daily personal development. I wasn't journaling. I wasn't reading. I wasn't having my ice showers. I wasn't doing the things that make me a better person. Mm-hmm. And immediately, after about 5 weeks of wondering what the fuck was wrong, I was like, oh, that's what's wrong. And this almost to the second, I started changing my habits back to my positive habits. My life got substantially better.
Yeah, and so hearing that story, I mean, I'm going to be taking off most of December here, and I'm going to be headlining the kiddos. I'll be the gatekeeper for a month or so. So I got to keep that in the back of my mind, is I got to make sure that, you know, I'm my self-care is there, and I'm making sure that I'm on top of myself. Like, going back to what we talked about from the start of this thing, mm-hmm. is you got to take care of yourself before you can take care of others. So I got to make sure I'm on point and following through on my routine, or else shit's going to hit the fan.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And this kind of ties into number 5 here. This is a one from Blair. Blair S. says, coping strategies for anxiety. Well, I have anxiety, so I can touch on this. Exactly what we just talked about.
Yeah.
That's a coping strategy. Yeah. Everything that I just said is a coping strategy. The thing with coping strategies is that you have to do what works for you.
Right.
And the only way to figure out what works for you is trial and error. It's the only way you're going to figure it out.
Yeah, it might take 20, 30 different things that you try before you find what actually works.
Dude, I struggled for 2 years straight with my mental illnesses.
Yeah.
2 years straight, I dealt with it. Do you think I just gave up trying? Yeah. No, I just kept trying different things, man.
And that's what I think a lot of our guys find that they seem that nothing works. They'll try two or three things and like, well, I tried a few things and like just nothing ever works.
Right.
But it could take 20, 30, 40, 50 before you get there. So don't give up hope, first of all, and keep trying different stuff. And I've learned a lot of techniques from guys along the way here that maybe I'm not diagnosed with anxiety, but we all deal with it in some form, one way or another. And one thing that's worked for me is when things are kind of shit's hitting the fan, I have no problem laying on my back, put my hand on my chest, and I feel myself breathe. That helps me.
That's a breathing technique.
Yeah. It's a breathing technique. In, and I can feel my chest push.
Mm-hmm.
And I just focus on that. I don't think about anything else.
That's a form of meditation too.
And it's gone. And I suck at meditating, but I love it too.
Mm-hmm.
But like it that's what kind of calms me down.
Well, no, that is a legitimate form of meditation.
Yes.
That's
someone in the Inner Man Project taught me that.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, I'll try it out.
Who taught you that?
Shit. Someone I don't even really know. It was in one of our circles.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was just listening to him. He was just talking about it. He didn't tell me directly. I just learned it from him.
Oh, I thought it was Jeremy because I gave advice to Jeremy and he went around and giving everybody the same advice. I was like, okay. There you go. So, shout out. Who was that? Blair. Shout out to Blair. Thanks for giving us a suggestion there. This one I really like because we're both dads. The role of a man as a father to his children.
This is an interesting one too because my parents flip roles, so to speak, if we're going to go the traditional route.
Right.
So my mom was the hard ass discipliner. Even my friends were scared of her. she's harmless. Yeah. But her bark was worse than her bite. But my father was also the nurturing. He'll give you shit, and then 10 seconds later, he's coming into the room apologizing for getting mad at you.
Mm-hmm.
So it was different role, gender specific for me.
Mm-hmm.
But in my home, I am the discipliner and all that stuff. But the roles, there doesn't have to be a role. Like, there doesn't have to be. You decide how you want to raise your family.
Mm-hmm.
And you and your spouse or whoever you have in your life, your significant other, that's who you decide what role you want to take.
Right.
And you have to compliment each other in the right way, obviously.
You're absolutely right, man. And this is something that I learned from my father was, first of all, you're right. The roles don't matter.
No.
What matters is your family dynamic and culture.
Right.
That's what matters. What precedent are you trying to set for your children? What example are you trying to set for your children? If your wife is the breadwinner and you want to stay home with the kids, then it's your fucking responsibility to raise those kids right. And vice versa.
That's right. And if you're taking on that role, you're Mr. Mom.
Yeah.
Like, you're doing everything.
Yeah, and it's fucking hard work, man.
Yeah.
It is hard work. And
shout out to our single parents and our stay-at-homes and all that stuff, because you guys are rock stars, and we acknowledge that it is hard as fuck.
Absolutely. And if you're a man who doesn't stay home, this is the advice I can give you. I sat down a couple weeks ago, and I had a legitimate conversation with a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old about creating the culture that is important to them. And I asked them, what is important to you guys as a family? Well, my family's important. Okay, what does that mean? Family dinners, family movie nights, playing Pokemon cards. Like that, in a 6-year-old's mind, that's what's important to him. So we wrote that down.
Yeah.
We write that down on a piece of paper. You know, we ask our kids what's important to them. And then we tell them what's important to us. You know, the thing for me is kids are going to be kids. The only thing I ask is if you respect our family members and you respect our home.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. And what does that mean? Well, that means like maybe instead of running and jumping in the house and on the couch, go outside.
Yeah. Run and jump on a tree.
Right. If you want to scream and yell, go up to your bedrooms upstairs where nobody can really hear you and you can play as loud as you want.
Yeah.
Right. And don't interrupt people. Like basic things, right? So you, as a man, whether you stay at home or you're the breadwinner and work, you have to create a culture. You have to create a family dynamic. You have to create we have a code of conduct or a set of responsibilities or ownership. That in itself is going to set the standard of how you're going to raise your kids and how your kids are expected to be raised.
Yeah, man. What do I need to say at this point?
Well, I think I could dive into this all day. I love this topic because I think, and this is my personal opinion, men have such an important role. I mean, you can look at every statistic there is regarding addiction and regarding, especially in the States with the inner city issues going on. It all relates to men not being a father figure to kids growing up.
In my line of work, man, 99% of the people I deal with either have one parent
mm-hmm.
or no parents.
Right.
And we're not discounting the role of the mother because obviously that nurturing and that stuff is so important. But that's a role that I just put down there.
Right.
You know what I mean? That mm-hmm. doesn't have to be your role. A man can do that too.
Right.
Right. So that was maybe a little bit of profiling there, but that's not what I meant. It was more along the lines is you need to have the right balance from both parents.
Right. Right. You have to, it's a psychological, when you start looking into, Jordan Peterson and you start following like high-end business coaches and you start looking at life, from the development point of view, like young kids need a father figure or a structure figure in their life. So if the mom is the one working and dad's to stay at home, the mom needs to be the strong figure in the household, right? She needs to lead by example.
Just need to have someone
with that
strong will.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because if you guys are both having the same message, but they're both delivered the same way,
mm-hmm.
you might as well have one parent.
Right, right. And that's like, Our family dynamic at this house is so funny because I love my kids the way my dad loved me. And it was just like, he called us buddy. He taught us how to do things, but he disciplined us.
Mm-hmm.
And he disciplined us in the right way. Listen, like, obviously we come from different generations. I don't spank my kids.
Yeah.
Right. But I have more information than them.
Yeah.
But that's what I like to tell parents is like, we have more information. If you can't not manipulate, but if you can't convince a kid to settle down or stop having a tantrum, we got to figure this out.
And this is coming right off of Joe Rogan's podcast. I've heard this before.
this is something I told the guys in the peer session last time.
Yeah.
And this is a trick I learned from a guy who went viral on Facebook. He took his daughter out to the car, sat her on the car hood, and just left her there and screaming. And he stood beside her.
I seen that.
Right?
Yeah.
And he's like, are you done?
Yeah.
Are you done? Wipe the stress off your face.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
And like, if you can't handle that, you need to figure out what you need to do as a parent to fix that. That's number one. Number two, that is setting the standard for that little girl and for my kids. When they throw a temper tantrum in the shopping mall, we're going outside and you're not allowed to be back in public until you smarten up.
Yeah.
Until you start acting accordingly. Right. Yeah.
And kids absolutely adore structure.
Yes.
This is such an important thing, guys. You need to have structure in these young minds.
Mm-hmm.
They crave it. They love it. They might buck at times,
mm-hmm.
but they need it and they enjoy it and they crave it. So give it to them.
Yeah, man. Dude, it is actually Anthony Hart, who's a gentleman that is going to be involved with the Inner Man Project. He's the gentleman that drove down from Calgary to our peer session.
Wonderful man.
He and I had a conversation about kids. And what he said, and this was kind of validation for me, because I'm a big believer in chores. You're going to clean your bedroom. You're going to clean up your toys.
Totally.
You're going to wipe down your table space when you're done having a snack. You're going to pick up your toothpaste and crap in the bathroom when you're done using it. You're going to do these things. But one thing that I noticed was, like, I can sit here and tell my boys what to do all day, and they're not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't the first 5 or 6 times I do it with them?
That's what I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, one day I'm like, did you brush your teeth? Yep, I brushed my teeth. And I go into the bathroom, and all of a sudden, their toothbrushes are put away, the toothpaste is put away, the sink is cleaned out. Why? Because I did it with them.
Yeah, you're setting the precedent of leadership mm-hmm. by doing that, first of all. You're teaching them how to do things right, and you're building them a sense of pride.
Right.
Those are all huge things that kids need and love.
They need and love. And what you're doing by doing it with them is you're taking away the perception in that little kid's mind that this is going to take forever.
That, and it's like, well, if dad or mom can do it, and they do it, why shouldn't I?
Exactly. Exactly.
So be a role model.
Yeah, and do things in front of your kids.
Totally.
This is something that I started doing just to see what the reaction would be. When I pay bills on my phone or on the computer, I sit down with Atticus or Bronson and show them what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I show my boys what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Because I think it's very important to see what those positive habits are.
Yeah.
Here, I'm taking money. I'm going to pay the utilities. And then I'm going to pay the phone bill. And then I'm going to take the rest of this money right here. And I'm going to go like this. And I'm going to put it in this bank account. And that's our savings account
mm-hmm.
for when me and mom are old. And I joke around, but I want them to, it's almost like now it becomes subconscious when they're older, right?
Yeah, and you're not doing it for them. You're doing it with them. That's correct. The difference, guys, because doing it for them doesn't do shit. It's actually detrimental.
Mm-hmm.
That's when bad habits are created, and that's when the expectation and the expectation that you need to do it. Why would I do it when you do it for me all the time?
Right. It's almost worse to do it for kids than it is to just not let them do it at all.
It's true.
Right? Because when they're adults, and let's say that you've never taught them or told them to clean their room, and they just lived with a messy room their whole life.
Yeah.
Eventually, they're going to pick things up and get it out of the way, or kick clothes out of the way, or do this and do that. But then when they get to the real world, they're going to get a huge wake-up call.
Totally.
But if you start doing things for your kid, and you do that their whole life, they're going to grow up wanting things done for them when they're adults.
Entitled motherfuckers.
They're going to turn into entitled little shits. And that's something we see today with the younger generation of men.
Yep.
Especially with the digital age, right? They expect things just to be coming to them all the time.
Well, yeah, man. My kid had the first taste of a commercial, and he lost his ever-loving mind.
Yeah.
Where's my show?
Yeah.
Because they're in a place now where, you know, commercials aren't a thing.
Right.
Netflix is a thing, all the streaming stuff out there. And mm-hmm. then when that's taken away and they're not getting that constant content.
Right.
They're losing their minds. And you're just like, what is going on here?
We had the same experience. It wasn't the commercials, but I can't remember what it was. Before we had a PlayStation 3. Right. Before I bought the PlayStation 4 last year.
Yeah.
And the boys are sitting there and they're trying to turn it on with the PlayStation controller. And I'm like, it doesn't work. It broke. We have to watch TV.
Yeah.
Well, when we bought our TV package, we bought the most basic one because we have the streaming services.
Right.
So now they only have 4 cartoon channels to watch. And I'm like, oh, you guys don't even, like, this is a whole different concept for you guys.
Yeah, we had YTV and Family Channel.
And Teletoons.
Teletoons.
And that was for, like, teenagers.
Yeah.
So it was like, yeah, we had, what, 3 channels?
Three channels.
Yeah. And these kids have YouTube.
Yeah.
Like.
They have YouTube. They thousands. Have Netflix. They have Amazon Prime. They have Disney Plus. Yeah. There's no shortage of content. We'll just say that.
None. And so that was a wake-up call for my boys to be like, they spent a month and a half before Christmas, because I wasn't going to bring the PlayStation 4 out. They spent 6 weeks watching regular television, and it killed them. Like, it was like torture.
What the hell is this? Dad!
You know, it was also a blessing in disguise, though, because what ended up happening was they played more.
Yeah, exactly.
They got bored with the TV they were watching, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the ticket, man, is there's not enough, there's too many options out there where you can sit on your butt, and if you get bored of a TV show, oh, well, I'll just move on to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, we have that with our phones, man.
Totally.
Think of Skip the Dishes or DoorDash.
Yep.
Oh, I want food. Done.
Easy.
I want to get groceries. Done.
Yeah.
It's like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I know, man. Life is, like, I mean, technology is fantastic, and it has its place big time in this world. But it's also making us the laziest, most useless generation you can think of.
And you know what's crazier to think? And this is, it goes back to the entitlement thing. I went to the post office 2 weeks ago to drop off some mail for the IMP and for my work.
Oh, people still use the mail?
And I stood there in line, and there must have been this 17-year-old girl there, and she didn't know how to fill out a letter.
Mm.
And I was just like, "What are? Did you even go to high school?"
Yeah, right.
And so I asked her. I was like, "Have you ever been taught how to fill this out?" She's like, "Never." I was like, "Really? Not even in school?" She's like, "No, I've never been taught this." And I was like, "Wow, okay, this is really weird, and I feel really old."
Yeah. Right.
But I also shows you that, yeah, we live in such an advanced world where, I mean, I have to send letters out and mail out because of what we do,
right,
and because of my work.
Right.
But the new generation coming up, they don't know how to fill out a letterhead.
Well, I don't think the government does either. Got him.
Internal joke.
Yeah.
With that being said, it's frightening where a lot of the younger generation is between that 15 and 22, 23-year-old age range.
Yeah.
And for me, I of course, on my personal Facebook, have created an echo chamber of people that I follow you know, we have friends on Facebook and whatever else. But the thing that I'm seeing from a lot of millennial parents is that they're like, I do not want to raise my kid the wrong way.
Right.
That's something that I think is so crucial for the millennial generation to understand, is like, a lot of us, I can't speak for it because I was raised, thank God, the right way.
Right.
But I know a lot of our friends, especially in high school, they never had that mom and dad are going to teach us everything.
No.
Right?
No.
So
I didn't have that.
Right. So it's like you were one of the few kids that came out alive from it because you figured shit out on your own.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it does equate to my wife and meeting her family, going to the ranch and her old man kicking me in the butt and,
mm-hmm.
you know, teaching me some things, which I craved, man.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing more embarrassing not knowing what a certain tool was.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's demasculating.
Oh, it's awful, man. And now there's no way my kid will grow up without that knowledge.
Right, right. I mean, and even now as an adult, like I always joke around whenever I start a project here in the house, it's like my dad can smell it. He's like, he just shows up with tools. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, nobody told you to come down here. And one of the things that my dad joked about, but he was really like almost proud of me, and I'm almost a 30-year-old man, was I changed the fixture. I put a new light up.
Yeah.
By myself.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it was pretty simple.
YouTube.
It was pretty simple, don't get me wrong, but it was one of those things that my dad had never taught me.
Yeah.
One of the few things that he never taught me.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, I need to figure this out because I'm eventually, you know, one day I'm going to have to do this with my kids.
I have a funny story to tell you about light fixtures and fans.
Okay.
So at the ranch, when we lived out there before we had our kids, we never had, everything was done farmer way. Nothing mm-hmm. was built in that house properly.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have air conditioning
mm-hmm.
and we needed a fan somewhat bad in our room.
Mm-hmm.
So I did the same thing. I took it apart. But the thing is, all the wires were black and white.
Yeah.
every single one. Usually when you look at a light fixture, you got a couple of different colors, mm-hmm. which you know what connects to what.
Yeah.
So it took me a good 3 or 4 real bad shocks before I got it right. And my hair is sticking up, just like eyes are crossed. Oh, I hope this works.
Ding. Yeah.
Yeah, and eventually got it. But yeah, no, it's a satisfying feeling when you tackle a project that you never had
right
in front of you, and you're like, ah, I'm gonna take it on and I'm gonna do it, and then you do it and you're like, wow,
yeah,
good for me.
And I always say this about doing the renovations in this house, it's a bitch, and it's a struggle, because, you know, especially when you're doing it yourself, but it's so satisfying knowing that when this place is done, I'm the one that did it.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, it's so satisfying. And you know, and that ties into the whole raising your kids and being in the role. Is my mom taught me how to be a nurturing person, and my dad taught me how to do the hard work. And don't get me wrong, my mom would do hard work. She taught me how to mow the lawn because that was her gig, you know. And, you know, she taught me how to garden because that was her gig. You know, these are things that she taught me that benefit me as a man, and that will benefit my kids once I teach them.
Yeah, man, it's huge. And I mean, the thing that I grew up with my parents growing up is they were both hustlers. They worked hard.
Yeah.
They both had their own businesses,
mm-hmm.
and watching that growing up was like, okay,
yeah,
like it's go time.
Yeah.
That's what we do. It's work.
Yeah. Work.
So that's what I do now. Like I grind. But I also make sure that I make time for my family, and I make sure I make time for myself, and I make sure I have that balance where I can help everyone around.
Right.
So it's all relative.
And you can take that mentality of that hustle, work, and apply that to being a dad.
Absolutely.
When it's dad time, I try and go all out.
Fully invested.
Yeah. Like my phone's away. The TV is off. Tonight we spent an hour boxing in the living room. I gave him real boxing gloves, let him beat the shit out of me. And it was a great time.
Yeah.
It was a great time. And so, you know, you can take that mentality and go as hard as you can with it, right?
Yeah, and it was sad to see today. We were out soccer with my boy, and I left my phone and all my belongings in my bag before I went on the, because I have to go out with him.
Yeah.
And it was sad to see all these parents kind of walking around, scrolling through their phone with their kids. I'm like, oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come here, buddy. I'll play with you. Your parents suck. Like, sorry.
Well, you know, that's going to be something that might hurt a few people listening to, but I need them to listen to that.
Be present.
Fuck yeah. And be present, not just with your kids, man. Like, where's your phone right now? It's not in front of me.
No.
My phone's right here because we're reading this AMA.
Mine's over here.
Yeah. It's like, no, when I'm having a conversation with you, I will literally stop talking if you're looking at your phone.
Yeah, it's rude.
And you'll feel like a piece of shit.
And you should.
When I stop mid-sentence and I just look at you and stare at you.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, you know, my parents, they never grew up with the cell phones. Yeah. And I called my mom out on it.
Yeah.
A few times. And I'm like, you're always on your phone. Get off your phone. And so now when we're having a conversation, she sits down on the couch here. I just stop talking.
Yeah.
And she looks at me. She's like, oh, sorry. Yeah. But she recognizes it, right?
Yeah.
A lot of these parents nowadays, they don't recognize it, man.
Well, it's funny because I thought I was, when me, you, and Mel were on a Zoom call the other day, I called you out because I thought you were sitting on your phone.
Yeah.
But you were writing notes. I'm like, oh, I'm an idiot. But I was like, but I'm the same way, man. It's rude.
Yeah.
It's so rude.
It is, man. And so that's another, like, this all ties in to this last topic that we're talking about. This all ties in because what you're doing, if you're sitting at home and your kids are looking at you and you're on your phone, what the fuck do you think they're going to be doing when they get the opportunity to have a phone?
Yeah,
you really think they're going to be paying attention to you? Not a hope in hell. They're going to look back and say, you know what? For the last 12 years, you never listened to anything I said. I'm going to be sitting on my phone now.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. And everyone always says, well, when your kids are older, they're not going to want to hang out with you. It's like, mm-hmm. nope, because I'm going to nurture that relationship all the way through.
Yep.
And I was like, they're not going to have a choice
mm-hmm.
because I'm going to force my dad on them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
I'm going to make sure that we are continue doing things and hobbies together, regardless of their age, both my boy and my girl.
Yep.
Whatever they want to do, I will do with them.
Yep. 100%. And give me your phones because we're having family time.
That's right.
Yeah. That's and, right. And that's just the way you have to do it, man. That's just the way you have to do it. All right, man. We're an hour in. Final thoughts.
I just hope that we gave you guys some clarity through our nonsensical banter. But we really, this is probably one of my favorite podcasts. I really enjoyed this. So I'm excited to do more of these. I hope we helped you guys out in some sort of way, and we look forward to the next one.
Awesome, guys. Well, thanks for tuning in, and see you later, man.
Bye, guys.